What happens when two friends visit a paranormal museum? Do they bring home more than just memories?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to show your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the program, you'll keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And in exchange, you're going to get yourself a bonus episode every single week that's exclusively for our EPP members. Our advanced episodes of the show, our archive, which is literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. And there's so much more. It's just jam-packed with all these extras you get for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. You can do that at patreon.com/realghoststories or our other website, which is ghostpodcast.com. We do greatly appreciate your support. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
How's it going, Tony?
I'm waiting for zombie livestock to start roaming my property at some point.
You've had some bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, it's just when you have a small farm with several animals, some inevitably do die. And our pigs, unfortunately, did not make it through summer. And the last one just passed away today as of recording this. And it was, I talked about the first one when it passed away. This one is about the same size. And again, I just go back to thinking of Dateline and the serial killers and all that and go, why would you want to do any of this? Aside from like murdering somebody is not a good thing, but moving a body, a dead weight thing, is an insane task. I mean, it is so difficult, especially when it is, you know, it was a living thing. It has skin, it has bones, and those sort of things, you know, when you're trying to move it, they can tear and all that, and it's just, it was gross. So gross. I had to get it out of its habitat area and then a place where I could go, you know, kind of bury it and such. But to get from point A to point B, I'll tell you what, that was a workout today in 95 degree Arkansas summer heat with a body that's smelling, you know, very quickly. And it's like, and you move it and like noises start coming out of the...
Oh.
It was a horror movie.
Like, I couldn't even move a dead raccoon. Something else did. I don't know what did move it, but something. Yeah. There was nothing I could do. I'm like, I'm going to have to pay the neighborhood kid to come over and do something.
Sure.
You know, but like, I don't know if I could have done what you did.
Easier when you have you can do it with a shovel and move an animal like that versus, you know, a 300-pound beast that, you know, because I couldn't leave him there. I couldn't bury him right there either. And it was like, well, yeah, got to get him somewhere where he can, you know, go back into nature peacefully. Oh, my goodness. That was, it was just a mess. So that was my afternoon today. I was trying to do it before Harper got home from school, you know, and my whole time I'm doing this, I'm thinking this is going to be horrible. I'm going to have some sort of hiccup down by the road with the four, cause I was pulling it with the four wheeler. And like the kids are going to like, the bus is going to be there and there's dad pulling a dead pig.
Oh my God. That would have been horrific.
Scarring for life. But I got it done before and everything was good.
Dad, what are you doing? And I think
the rope broke four times with me trying to get it down there. And
you were just pulling it yourself, or did you say you had it hooked up?
It was hooked up to like a four wheeler. Yeah, because I could barely move it.
Because you couldn't have done that.
No. I mean, just trying to roll the thing over was like, I mean, it's gross because it's smelling. And then it's, you know, it's heavy. It's so heavy. And it's just dead weight. And, yeah, so good times. I don't think we're going to be doing replacement pigs. I'm good. Those were, ones where they just kind of hung out and didn't really do much, and I wasn't going to eat them. So there you go.
Something was wrong, though, because you had, like, the pigs were poorly bred or something.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about pigs.
If they would have died at the same time, yeah. You know, then you would think, oh, there was something they got into that they ate they shouldn't have. But the fact they both died young, yeah. But months apart.
And there wasn't anything that they could have gotten into that would have been, like, poisonous to them. I mean, in their habitat, there was nothing like that. They were well protected. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I fed them. They were well-fed pigs. I'll say that much. That's why they were so damn big. But I don't know. I didn't know what else I could do. But I'm not a pig farmer. So that's, I think I can mark that off of my list of things I've done that I never really wanted to add to the list to begin with. But hey, you know, you live, you learn. And you raise pigs, you learn. You drag them down to the creek with a four-wheeler, you learn. That's the infamous fourth verse to You Learn by Alanis Morissette.
Ooh.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hey, guys, about 5 years ago, I went to a paranormal museum with a friend. Unfortunately, the day that we chose to visit, the museum was closed. However, they were offering ghost tours of the area. Friend and I decided to take a tour, so she went to stand in line to pay for our tickets. While she was standing in line, I decided to walk around the bookstore, which is part of the building that has the museum. And towards the back of the bookstore, there was a cabinet filled with ghost hunting equipment. Looking at the equipment, started to feel a sense of nausea, as if I were going to get sick. At that point, I left the bookstore area to look for a public bathroom. I saw a hallway, then a doorway with a curtain, but there was a sign that said employees only, so I turned around and went back to the bookstore, hoping the nausea feeling would pass. Went back to looking at the ghost hunting equipment in the cabinet, and as I was standing there, I got an uncomfortable feeling and a chill. Suddenly, I felt like a breath behind me, on my neck, and I heard in my right ear a high-pitched voice that said very loudly, "Hi." And that made me jump. I quickly turned around, but there was no one near me. I have children, so to me it sounded like my young son, like the voice of a boy around age 10. Started to look around the bookstore for a child around that age, but there was not anyone around that looked like that. At that point, I panicked, ran up to my friend who was still in line to buy tickets, gave her a $10 bill and said I had to get the hell out of there and would wait for her outside. Went outside and just sat down on the sidewalk. Must have looked strange because a few people walked up to me to ask if I was feeling okay. Feeling of nausea started to subside. When my friend came out, she asked me what happened. I told her what experiences I had while she was paying for the tickets. Then the tour started. The tour lasted about an hour and a half, and as the tour ended, the guide walked us back to the front of the museum. She said that although it is the end of the tour, she had one more story to tell. She told me the story of a ghost of a young boy that haunts the bookstore. She said they're not sure who he is or why he's there, but he started haunting the place when they were doing some renovations on the building. She said that he likes to play with a ball they leave for him in the store every night after they close. They did leave a tape recorder at night and caught his voice on tape. They think the boy sounds to be around 10 or 12. Also, he occasionally likes to sneak up on people and make himself known. Could not believe what I was hearing. Everything she described, what was I just experienced? I met this little boy. At this point, my friend nudged me and whispered that I should tell the guide what I experienced. So I raised my hand and told the story. Tour guide smiled and said, "Well, I think you've met our ghost boy." It was scary, but also a cool experience. Wonder if he was just looking for a mother figure that day, and that was why he chose me. That's that would certainly put the chills down your spine if you're on the tour and you just had what they described happen to you.
God, no kidding. And then it's sad, too, like the whole idea, like, I wonder if he was just looking for a mother figure. That maybe breaks my heart. Yeah. Like, that's just so sad. But then, you know, the fact that of all the people, like, you were the one. But once again, I think that there's certain people they can get through to. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's people like me who are like, don't anybody mess with me.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. And so, you know, if you're a little bit open to it and you can get through, you know, it is kind of cool.
It is.
And freaky at the same time.
Yeah. No, without a doubt. It's one of those, you know, situations where you just have that moment and, you know, it's very real. I mean, you can't go back and recreate it, but you know what happened and you got some validation also from others saying, yeah, this is what this person exactly does. So that seems to help. Thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go over to this one. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony and gang. My name is Kaylee from Michigan. I wanted to call because I feel super connected to your podcast because I found it shortly after I lost my 18-year-old brother last year to suicide. The 4th of July, 2020, actually. And I am just heading home from his first annual Memorial Golf outing, which went amazing. But finding this podcast and hearing the stories absolutely have made a huge difference. It was something that I kind of was looking for after losing him, just to still hopefully someday find that connection with him and know that maybe the last time I saw him wasn't going to be the last interaction that I had with him. So thank you guys for keeping that hope alive within me. And I actually have a few stories that I think show that he was still around and is still around and checks on me from time to time. One of the super common things that I've always been told in my family, and I know not just my family, is that ghosts will move around dimes and leave dimes places. And I think my brother definitely leaves dimes for me because I find them in the weirdest places. I often find them like right outside of my car door when I walk up to it. Or there was one day shortly after he passed that I wasn't doing mentally well, and I went to get in my car because I was at work, and I went to get into my car, and he had, I believe, left a dime on my driver's seat, and I so strongly believe it was him because I don't ever carry cash or change or do anything like that, so it's not like I just have it laying around. Or it'll fall out of my pockets or anything like that, because I just don't carry change. And I found it in a few other places as well, but definitely during the times when I need someone to tell me that things are going to be okay. And I really do think that he is trying to tell me to calm myself down, think straight, and be smart. but also, I have a feeling that he has come to check on me in other ways as well. When I'm at home, I have a hallway that leads down to the bedrooms and the bathrooms and things like that. But otherwise, it's pretty dark if no one's down there because we don't just keep lights on. There's no windows in the hallway or anything. But every once in a while, out of the corner of my eye, I will see just like a shadow of a person peek around that corner, look in my direction, and just kind of tuck themselves back around into the hallway. And this never happened before he passed. When I told our mom this story, because we don't live together, she told me that she'd been experiencing very, very similar things where she'd be sitting in her living room and there's a hallway that leads off from it. And she goes, someone will just peek around that corner every once in a while, and I always say, hi, I miss you, I love you. So she gets the feeling and the same identical experience, even though we live a couple hours away from each other, which is just amazing. And once again, reinforces my thoughts that it probably is my brother. And then finally, another thing that people always say, and I believe I've heard on the show as well, is cardinals will represent, you know, people who have moved on as well. And I was sitting in my car one day recently, about a week ago, and a little cardinal came and landed on the like windowsill, the driver windowsill of my car door on the outside. My window was rolled all the way up. It didn't land on my mirror. It landed in the most like difficult place in my head, I imagine, for a bird to land on a car, and just stared in the window at me. And then it didn't tap its beak, but it kind of tapped its head on the car window. And I'm terrified of birds, but this one was calming and I was very interested in it. And I instantly thought of my brother, and it started to like fly away. So I was like, okay, you know, goodbye, I miss you. And it came right back, landed on the windowsill in almost the same place, and once again just kind of like tapped its head, not its beak, on the window. And it was almost like it was like, hey, just checking on you, making sure you're good. And then finally it flew off, and, you know, that was that. But I was kind of wondering about your guys' thoughts, or if you've heard other similar stories. I've always felt super comforted by all of these experiences, whereas, you know, I've had other, what I believe are paranormal experiences from all the way down to childhood and, you know, up until my, you know, adulthood now. But these ones are very particular to me, where I believe it's been my brother specifically, because there have definitely been times that I've been scared, and there have been a couple minutes sometimes where I'm like, is this something dark? You know, is this something that's trying to trick me into thinking it's my brother? But those thoughts are fleeting, and, you know, they don't stick around. Most of the time I feel comforted. So I just wanted to know your guys' thoughts and opinions, and I just wanted to share my story. And also, I hope that it gives someone else hope somewhere if they've lost a loved one recently, to know that maybe they'll come back and check on you from time to time. And I also just want to encourage anyone who is struggling with mental health, because, God, there's so many people that love you and want you around, and so many people that might even just be strangers that want to help you. You affect so many people around you, and you don't even realize it until it's too late. So please, please, please take care of yourself and get help if you need it. And don't be afraid to ask for it. It's not cowardly to admit you're struggling. But thank you, guys. And I appreciate everything you do and the hope that you keep alive in me. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for taking the time to share your account. Dang. Again.
You know, I'm crying.
Yes.
Of course. There, everything about that. You know how... I will guarantee you there's going to be so many people who are going to hear that story mm-hmm. and connect to it at so many different places, as I connected to it at so many different places.
Yeah.
But there's going to be people who hear that at just the right time in their lives, mm-hmm. you know, and people struggling with mental illness, that they're going to hear that, and it could save a life, which, that's powerful.
Which, you know, it's interesting, because you don't think of the repercussions of all that stuff as you're just kind of doing the show. And then you start getting those letters and stuff. And we've had that over the years. We've had letters right. from people saying those exact same things of, you know, I was at a super low point and I felt, you know, like nobody really cared or wouldn't believe me or this or that. And then something that they heard on the show, something about something one of us said or something a caller said, and it gave me hope and it let me keep going. And, you know, we're a show that talks about ghost stories. We're not, you know, always here, you know, with, you know, motivation or anything, but just being real and just everybody being who they are is what, you know, connects with people so, so intimately. So I think that's really cool that she shared that story the way that she did. And I agree. I mean, somebody, probably many, will hear that and go, yeah, I get it. That I needed that right now.
And I think that this show too, it's not just like, this creepy thing, door slamming, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, somebody walking up and down the stairs, because that shit's creepy. but there's been so many stories of people losing someone, like I have shared with the guy I dated, my boyfriend and my dad, and things that happened to me after they passed, that is in fact very similar to what she just explained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these little signs. And I think, you know, you're looking for this big sign from them, you know, like some kind of lightning bolt. And it's like, oh my God, you know, but it's not. It's finding a dime on your seat. It's the bird that suddenly flies. I saw the most beautiful video of somebody. They were like doing the ashes or something like that. It was in connection with someone who had died, whatever they were outside for. And this cardinal came and just was like right in front of him. And the woman held her hand out and the cardinal just got in her hand and everybody's bawling. And then the cardinal flies off and came right back. And I'm like watching this going, what the hell? Like, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem like it was some manipulated video. It could be, but
yes, no,
like her seeing that cardinal looking at her. Wait, that's weird. That doesn't happen.
The cardinals have figured out that if they act like our dead relatives, we'll feed them. So
it's really very smart.
They're like, hey, over here, Chuck. Yeah. What do you got?
We're just
we're in the cemetery.
House.
Yeah.
Like, that lady down the street, she's always got food out.
Watch this. She's going to totally think I'm her dead husband. Watch this. Fly on down there. Yeah, I'm your dead husband. Give me some bird seed. Oh, that's great. Thank you. All right. Yep. Okay.
Let's go to Carol's. We don't have to do anything for it at her house.
Love and light. Bye. That's how their voices are. That's,
love and light.
That's bye. How that's how cardinals talk.
Like they're all like grumpy old men. Yeah. Live and light. Bye.
I love it. I love the suet you put out here for me. This is great. Yep. I'm your cousin today. Yep. Hi. I'm your cousin.
Fly by at the exact right moment.
Yeah. I'm going to go right here to this, your neighbor's house. Hi. I'm your uncle. Oh, shit. You didn't like your uncle. Oh, shit. Get away from me. Get that fly swatter. BB guns over here. She thinks I'm the uncle flying back to peek in her windows.
Get out of here.
Wrong. I'm sorry. I'm your cousin, your son, somebody that you liked. That's,
you know, you are the weirdest cardinal I've ever heard, and I've only heard you.
I've
never heard anyone else impersonate a cardinal.
This is what they do. This is how they. This is how they think. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, my name is Clara. I just had a couple of crazy things that have, you know, that have happened. So the first one was when I was in my son's room. So my son was like 3 years old at the time. And we had moved into a new house. So we'd only, you know, we'd been living there maybe about 6 months or so. And I would always put him to bed. So I'd rub his back till he fell asleep. And I had, there was this blue ottoman next to his bed that was like a cube. And, you know, you'd open it up and it had like spaceships on it or whatever would be appropriate for a 3-year old boy's room. And, inside of it then were these building blocks, like toy, they were soft, like kind of rubbery or whatever, but they're some of his favorite toys. So we'd play with them all the time. And then, you know, we put him away. So anyway, these blocks were in this ottoman that, you know, had a lid on it, and it was sturdy enough and heavy enough where I could sit on it. And so that's where I would sit, and I'd read his bedtime stories, and I'd sit there and rub his back till he fell asleep. So one particular night, we were, you know, I was reading him a bedtime story, the Very Hungry Caterpillar or something like that. And I was rubbing his back, and it was quiet in the room. And for some reason, and I didn't know what it was, or wasn't really thinking of anything in particular, but I got really emotional, and started crying, and not loudly, obviously. I didn't want to wake him up or anything, but it was just this really like very sad. I just felt so sad and so heavy. It was very strange, but it passed. And, you know, that was it. He gave him a kiss after he fell asleep, and I went into my bedroom. So, it was probably, oh gosh, I don't know, the middle of the night. So 2, 3, 4 a.m., something like that. And, I woke up to what sounded like my son playing in his room, playing with those blocks. And so, of course, I got up, and he had hardwood floors in the bedroom. And so I got up, and I went in there to see what he was up to and try to tuck him back in, go to sleep or whatever. And he was still tucked into his bed, and the ottoman was closed, and the books were on top of it, right where I had left them after I got up and left the room. And there was one block on the floor in the middle of his bedroom from this ottoman. And it was just so strange because, I mean, I got up right after I heard the sounds of the blocks. So, I mean, it wasn't like maybe he had gotten up earlier in the evening and was playing and had put himself back to sleep. I got up right away, and there was just one block on the floor, and he was, like I say, just absolutely sound asleep, snuggled up in his bed. So that was really strange. And so then for a few nights after that, whenever I would put him to bed, I got that really overwhelming, really sad feeling, where I would almost get emotional. And then it stopped. And it was just such an odd thing. You know, and the only thing that I can think of is right around that time of year, I think it was November or December, right around that time of year, exactly 10 years earlier, I had had a miscarriage, pretty late stage, in my pregnancy, pretty about midway through the pregnancy. And so the baby would have been born in December. And I always wondered if that was, you know, this baby sort of, you know, coming and saying, hey, I would have been 10 this year. And, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know. Then another thing, completely unrelated. So then a couple years later, I was working for a design build firm. So, you know, kind of an emotional work. I was doing accounting for them. And it was lunchtime. And so it had been a stressful day, but not necessarily anything too stressful. I finally broke for lunch, and the other people in the office were already in the lunchroom. And I walked in to the room, into the lunchroom, and I saw myself absolutely clear as day, opaque, as if I were sitting there. It wasn't a shadow or misty or anything. And it was in the clothes that I was wearing that day to work. I had a black pencil skirt on, like I said, it was a business office, and a white button-down shirt and a pair of black pumps. And I saw myself sitting there eating and talking to the other people that were in the lunchroom. And I just kind of stood there for a second, and I turned back around, and I sort of did like what I do in the movies, you know, where you like rub your eyes and you're like, what? So I turned back around, and I went back into the lunchroom, and I wasn't there. And everybody, you know, a couple people greeted me, which they hadn't done before. They hadn't greeted me the first time I walked into the lunchroom. And this was the middle of the day. This is noon on a Wednesday, you know. And it was just the oddest thing. It was such a strange day. That was, I don't know, just another odd thing that I always think about. And I wonder about multidimensional things and people and how many planes of existence there really are. And I don't know. So I would say those are the two sort of strangest things that I can think of and figured I'd share. So thanks so much for the podcast. I love listening to it. And you guys are super fun to listen to. So I appreciate it. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for sharing. That would be so confusing.
Well, I was thinking, like, I guess I would recognize myself as me. I don't know. I've never seen myself sitting there, yeah. You know, like outside of pictures or video. And then the fact that nobody said hi to her, and then she walks back in and everybody says hi.
Yeah.
Like, where was I? Like, didn't I just walk in there?
I know. I mean,
like, you guys didn't notice then?
It would be so, I think I'd be like, am I having a stroke? Like, what is going on that my mind is telling me that this is how these events are transpiring, you know?
Yeah. That's a weird one. Have you ever heard one like that?
No, not me. I've heard, like, you know, the kind of the time and place things being moved around a little bit, or someone having a dream and, you know, kind of being in places where they're not physically at. But that was, no, this was right. very different. I mean, this was, you know, it, I think it kind of goes into that category, but not that specific way of it all going down.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the other one, I don't know, as she was telling this story, I thought maybe it was like a child who had died, and it was about the time of year the child had died. The whole miscarriage thing mm-hmm. sure didn't enter my mind. I was thinking just a child from the house or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, if a child's far enough along, that could be a viable child. And I mean, why wouldn't that be the case?
Sure.
You know?
I know. No, it's...
I don't... And maybe... And who knows... It's not like anybody's ever at some point going to say, hey, I know what happened to you that night.
Sure.
And no, I mean, you're never going to get that. But I think the idea of it being the child that she lost, I would think would be comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Like she felt that sadness, and that's how you would feel because you lost a child. And it was just like a little connection that you had. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that one also, I don't have a good explanation for it.
I don't know how I'd feel in that moment, in that situation, you know, because I think it'd be almost so overwhelming to try and, I think afterwards you almost kind of process it better because it's exactly. such a foreign concept exactly. of what's going on at that time. It's like, I don't even know how to wrap my mind about what's going on here, but.
But if it continued happening, that would be horrific. It's like, okay, this is Groundhog's Day. I can't do this all the yeah. time. But maybe just a couple nights with that connection
mm-hmm.
and then it went away. Maybe that's all it was supposed to be. And just a little like, hey, you know, I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Thank you for sharing that one with us. We do greatly appreciate it. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It's all there for you to binge away on ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.